Well, hi, church. We're in Mark chapter 8. We're looking today. We're going to be in verses 22 through 26, and we're going to see a powerful object lesson of Jesus doing a miracle that proves some of the statements he's been saying and that demonstrates it in a new way. So let me read this to you. Mark chapter 8, starting verse 22, it says, "They came to Bethsaida, and some people brought to him a blind man and begged him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the village. And when he had spit on his eyes and laid his hands on him, he asked him, 'Do you see anything?' And he looked up and said, 'I see people, but they look like trees walking.' And then Jesus laid his hands on his eyes again, and he opened his eyes, and his sight was restored. And he saw everything clearly. And he sent him to his home, saying, 'Do not even enter the village.'" That's the miracle episode today. It probably reminds you of chapter 7, when Jesus did a very similar thing with a deaf and mute man over in the Decapolis, which we looked at a few times in the past couple of videos. But in that case, it was the same basic idea. A group of people bring him to Jesus, bring a deaf and mute man in chapter 7. In chapter 8, they bring a blind man, same idea. They bring him to him, and they beg him. In both stories, they beg him. In both stories, Jesus then takes him out. In both stories, Jesus then uses spit as part of his healing. And in both stories, the guy's healed and then is sent away saying, "Don't tell anybody about it." So they follow an exact formula. The only difference is which town they're in and what the guy's problem is. In chapter 7, it was deaf and mute. In chapter 8, it's blind. But it's the same formula, except in this one, the guy doesn't get healed right away. Jesus has to, like, try again. And that's might be puzzling for you, saying, why does Jesus have to do it twice? I don't know of any other miracles where Jesus, like, halfway healed somebody. What's that about? And that is what this story is about. It is about why Jesus didn't just heal him completely on the first try. Do you think it's because he couldn't? Do you think Jesus, like, made a mistake and goofed it up? Like, oh man, I got to try this all over again. Come on. Do you think that's what this was about? I don't think so. He walked on water. He multiplied bread and fish two different occasions. He's raised the dead. He's healed people all over the place. I don't think he just somehow goofed this one up and made some sort of rookie mistake or something. That's not it. Okay. So what is it about? Why is it that it follows the exact same formula as his previous healing, and this one didn't work quite right? Well, we're going to figure that out by looking at the context for this episode. Just like the Gentile miracles that we've looked at are framed in a context of these encounters with the Pharisees, in the same way, you can figure out the purpose of this miracle and why it goes this way based on the context in which it fits. Okay, so that's how we're going to look at this. First of all, just to kind of review it with the spit, you don't heal people by spitting on them. That is not some secret method that's going to work. Why did Jesus use spit? There's a few possible biblical reasons. I've gone over a few of them in the past few episodes on this podcast. But just to summarize it, the Pharisees had confronted Jesus after the feeding of the 5,000, and they had said, "Hey, man, why don't your disciples wash their hands when they eat?" Like, I mean, okay, maybe that's kind of gross. I don't know. They had baskets. It's not like they were just whatever. That's not the point. The Pharisees are nitpicking. They're arguing, and they're making a point about what causes a person to be unclean and unacceptable to God. That's their big concern. Which is a perfectly fine concern. If you're an Old Testament scholar, you know absolutely that clean and unclean are a big deal, and it matters. And so the Pharisees are taking this seriously, but they're wrong on a fundamental level. And Jesus confronted them on that, and he says, "Hey, what is it that defiles a person? What makes you unclean? Is it just your hands are dirty? Does that make you unclean?" And he says, "No." Or what you eat, meaning if you have germs in your hands and you eat it, is that what makes you unclean? No, because that passes through and comes out. He says, what makes you unclean, I'm just summarizing it all, but he says it in chapter 7, what makes you unclean is that come the things that come out of you, the thoughts of your heart, the things that are inside of you, that's what makes you unacceptable to God. You can't just put on some show, clean up real nice, dress up really nice for church, comb your hair up nice if you have enough. I'd be in bad shape if that was how to do it, right? But it's the things that come out of you. What comes out of a person is what defiles him. For from within, from out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they defile the person. So he was making a point to them. And then just to prove it, we're circling back. Sorry, I said I would summarize the spitting, and we haven't even got to it yet. But just to prove it, after saying this and after encountering the Pharisees and correcting them on this point, he says, now we're going to go to some Gentiles. Now we're going to prove this. I'm going to go visit some unclean people, the Gentiles, the goyim, the unwashed, the unclean. The Jews have to be separate from them. The Pharisees would certainly know this. Jesus says, I'm going to intentionally go to some Gentile regions, and I'm going to do some healings there. And I'm perfectly able to do it. And I can even use spit to make someone clean, to heal someone. Spit, which would make you unclean, which would, if you're a Pharisee, you would take that very seriously. You would say, oh, no, that would, I have to go outside and live in an unclean area of town for 7 days and all this stuff. He says, even my spit can heal. And it's framed that way. And as you read it, that's what you're supposed to get out of it. So anyway, all that to say, in chapter 8, that's the spit is the same basic idea. Look, I can heal even with spit. Even the things that would make you sick and make you worse actually heal when Jesus does them. So it just runs it parallel to chapter 7. But what stands out, like we've said, what stands out here is that it didn't work right on the first try. It didn't go according to plan. It didn't follow the formula, and that's what jumps out at you. Okay? So why not? What's up with this? And the answer is directly in the context. The answer is right here within chapter 8. You don't have to go running around and scrounging up goofy ideas. It's contextualized. The Pharisees had come to him demanding a sign, and then Jesus says, hey, don't be really nervous. Be careful. Don't listen. Don't accept the leaven of the Pharisees and of Herod. We did this in yesterday's podcast. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. And then they forget to bring bread, and they think he's talking about bread and yeast and stuff when he's really talking about their teachings. And Jesus, aware of this, verse 17, said to them, why are you discussing the fact you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember? He's talking about eyes and ears not working right. You have eyes. Why don't you see? You have ears. Why don't you hear? It's pointing back to Mark 4, where he's explaining why he talks in parables. And he says, so that people will see but not perceive and hear but not understand. And he's saying, you disciples, you're not understanding me. You're not hearing me. Or you are hearing me, but you're not understanding me. You see it, but you don't understand it. You don't perceive the meaning of it. And then he reminds them, look, guys, you're fighting about you forgot bread. Come on. Come on. Do you not remember when I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000? How many baskets full of broken pieces did you take up? And they said 12. 12 baskets of leftovers, guys. Didn't you get that? Didn't you? You saw that with your eyes. Why didn't you understand it? Okay. And the 7 loaves for the 4,000. How many baskets full of broken pieces did you take up then? They said 7. And he said to them, do you not yet understand? And then out comes a blind guy. And Jesus is going to do an object lesson with this blind man. Okay, I believe Jesus healed lots of people. The Bible says he did all the time. He's laying hands on them, touching them, and healing them. And every now and then, the Bible tells you the whole story about, you know, how Jesus did it and what he said. Most of the miracles, though, we don't get any details about them at all. And this one we do. And I believe we get details about certain miracles because they fit in and they illustrate a purpose within Scripture. And Jesus would have done them on purpose this way, and it would have been noteworthy, and it stood out. And so the writers of the Gospels who watched it happen and were there, or at least in Luke's case, spoke to eyewitnesses who were there, these writers said, you know what, these are the ones that stand out. These are the ones that we have to write down to pass the full gospel message into future generations and around the world. They didn't have time to write it all down. In fact, John said if we wrote down everything Jesus said and did, it would fill up the whole world. The whole world would be overflowing with books and we wouldn't have room. So we're going to have to narrow it down and show you just certain ones that make certain points. And Jesus did this miracle in Bethsaida on purpose this way to make a point. And Mark and Matthew, who both pick up on this, mention it and describe it and illustrate this point. And we'll look at it here in Mark. Why didn't the guy see right away? Because Jesus has been teaching them about how they can see, but they don't really see. They have eyes to see, but they don't perceive. So here's an illustration, guys. This guy, would you be happy if your vision was like blurry and dull and people looked like trees walking around? Would you be like content with that? Of course not. I remember several years ago, I had a night job. I worked at UPS and at night. And I got stung in the eyeball by a yellow jacket, little wasp thing. And it puffed up, and my eye swelled shut, and I couldn't see out of that eye. I had to take off work because I couldn't safely drive at night with one eye, right? Common sense. If your vision is only halfway there, that's not good enough. The purpose of eyes is to see, is to provide clarity. So if your eyes aren't providing you clarity and they're not letting you see fully, then they're not doing their job. And Ephesians 1 says, you know, to open the eyes of your heart so your heart may be enlightened, so you can see. And Jesus is getting at the same basic idea. You have eyes, and you have seen all kinds of stuff, but it's still blurry in your head. You still don't have clarity. You don't know what it means. You're still arguing about what I meant by leaven of the Pharisees, and you forgot to bring bread, and you're not getting it. You're not getting it, guys. Do you have eyes and don't see? Don't you remember? Do you not yet understand? He said in verse 21, you've seen it. I've shown you this a couple of times. Don't you get it yet? Don't you get it yet? And Jesus asks this guy, after doing all of this, he asked him, do you see anything? So to make the point, in case anybody's listening to this, which they were, he's making a point. Hey, buddy, do you see anything? What do you think of this? What's going on? Is this acceptable to you? And the guy's like, I kind of do, but they told me you could do real miracles. I don't want some cheap one. I don't want the dollar store variety miracle. I want the full healing, right? So disciples, you want to follow Jesus? Do you want to follow Jesus all the way? Do you want to get the full thing? Then stay near him. Stay with him. Remember, this is framed by the Pharisees demanding a sign and the disciples who have seen the signs and still not understanding them. The Pharisees didn't even see them because only people who saw Jesus feeding those 5,000 people were people who were there. And Pharisees weren't there because they didn't go out of their way to go to Jesus. They just went to him and demanded stuff from him. They didn't have the right attitude and they missed it. He says, you're not going to get a sign. But you know, lots of people got signs from Jesus. Thousands of them got signs from Jesus all the time. All they had to do was be with him. And the Pharisees weren't. But even those who were with him didn't always get it fully. The disciples didn't get it. They were there, but they didn't quite get it. Jesus rewards those who earnestly seek him. Those who hunger and thirst for him will be satisfied. Seek him first, and he'll reward you. He'll be there. Seek him. Seek him eagerly. Seek him. Remember the lady that sneaked up through the crowd and just touched his clothing and was healed. She earnestly sought him. She was going for it. She didn't need him to say anything. She didn't even want attention. She just needed Jesus. Okay, and you see that all through this. The people that follow him earnestly find him. Okay, and so he's using this guy as an object lesson. Look, I'm going to heal you in a minute here. We're going to get it all the way done. Don't worry. He's not just going to leave the guy hanging. But he's making a point. Disciples, why are you satisfied with only a little picture of Jesus? Why are you satisfied with vagueness? With, I read my Bible today, I didn't understand much of it, but I read it, so check that off the list. Why are you satisfied with that? What was the point of reading the Bible? What was the point of going, of giving your life to Jesus? What was the point of it? Do you want a halfway, do you have blurry vision, or do you want to see clearly? Well, follow him closely. Follow him closely. And then just to follow up on this framing of it, verse 27, immediately after this happens, he saw everything clearly, and then Jesus said, don't even enter the village. Verse 27, Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi, and on the way he asked his disciples, who do people say that I am? And they said, some say John the Baptist, and others say Elijah, and others one of the prophets. And he asked them, but who do you say I am? And Peter answered him, you are the Christ. And he strictly charged him not to tell anybody about him. Clarity. Who am I? Who do you think I am? Jesus asked. Who do people say I am? Well, they're a little confused. John the Baptist, Elijah, some prophet, whatever. But who do you say? Let's zero this in. Jesus says, who do you say I am? What am I all about? Who am I? Let's get this clear. Let's not settle for vague. He's a good teacher. He's a rabbi, a prophet, an Elijah kind of guy. Okay, whatever. That's like seeing people walking around looking like trees. That's like seeing miracles about multiplying bread and then still not being sure of what to do. Let's get clarity. Okay, and clarity comes for those who stay with him, who follow him, who go with him, who are there with him, who stick it out with him. You don't understand right now, you're a little blurry and you want to see a real sign, stay with him. Stay with him. Don't put your hands on your hips and say, oh, I can't believe God, Jesus, blah, 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 blah. Why would Jesus do that? How come this? What about that? Nitpicking, arguing, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of Herod. Telling Jesus what to do, bossing him around, telling him he has to do it your way. You want to see it. You want to see it. You're on your schedule, on your time right now. No, you follow Jesus and you stick to him and you go with him. And don't be satisfied and walk away when you get a little bit. Don't be satisfied and walk away. You heard a parable about some seeds and you thought it was about how to be a better farmer and what kind of soil to plant your seeds in. He says, no, follow me. There's a deeper meaning. There's an eternally valuable meaning. There's something more here. Follow me. Just stay with me. Be with me. If you're unclear, go closer. Don't give up. All right. That's what I see this meaning. We'll get into tomorrow some more into what's going on here in Caesarea Philippi and who do you say that I am, followed by Jesus telling them he's going to be crucified. We'll get into that tomorrow. But look, right now, this is about follow Jesus closely. This is about don't be satisfied because you know your Bible a little bit. Get more clarity, and you get that clarity by getting closer to Jesus. God bless you. Praise the Lord. We'll be in it a little farther tomorrow. See you then.